Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
And so my second guest, as I mentioned, is Denise Fawcett-Facey, and she's an educator, author, blogger, leader of personal development workshops, all of it centers around making education fun for students. So without wasting any time, I'm excited to welcome Denise to the show. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I am doing awesome. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, so one of the things I always like to do is let everyone know where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
I'm calling in from Atlanta, where I've lived for, about 18 years, but I'm originally from New York.
Okay. And what brought you to Atlanta?
Well, for one thing, real estate is a lot more affordable in Atlanta, but Atlanta offers a lot of wonderful things as well. Many of the cultural things that you can enjoy in New York are also available in Atlanta, and that makes it a very nice place to live.
Yeah. Same way here in Houston. I couldn't believe how affordable real estate was, and I moved here from Las Vegas by way of Philadelphia. So it just seems
then you
to
understand
in this area.
The difference.
Yeah, it's very much so. So, Denise, I'm looking on your website, and I want people to know that they can there we go, because I was on your Twitter account. So they can find you at, it's long, so I'm going to spell it. It's Denise Fawcett Facey, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, but it's D-E-N-I-S-D, F-A-W-C-E-T-T, F-A-C-E-Y.com.
Right.
Now, you've written a few books.
I've written three so far. I'm working on my fourth.
So am I right in assuming that your background is education?
That's correct. I was in education for over 20 years. I was a classroom teacher and really enjoyed doing that. I enjoy working with kids. You know, I was a high school teacher and before that middle school, and people always thought working with teenagers would be difficult, but I always said someone's got to like them and I do. So I worked with teenagers for that period of time. And then I began to feel God leading me in a different direction. And it turned out that writing was that direction. So I've been writing for the last several years.
So you were a school teacher, so you're in education. And the mind automatically thinks, well, if she's a teacher, it's got to be a gift to be a writer. I mean, that just comes with the territory. Is that true?
No, that's God, because I really had not planned to write. That was, I really thought that I would continue to teach until I was old enough to retire, and then I'd retire and go off into the sunset. But that wasn't God's plan, and I began to realize that a few years ago, and I wasn't really sure what his idea was for me to do, but I knew that teaching was suddenly no longer what I was meant to be doing. And it was confusing because I had done it for so long and enjoyed it for so long. And I still liked the children, but I began to move in a different direction. And this really, the catalyst for the first book, which ironically is my current book, is actually the first one I wrote. The catalyst for that was a speech that I gave in school. I had been asked to speak at the Senior Leadership Day, which is actually a day that they have set up for the students who are the seniors who are graduating. And they pick those that they see as the leaders of the class, and they have a series of activities for them that day. And they have a morning and afternoon speaker, and I was the afternoon speaker. And having been asked to speak on goals and to kind of infuse it with my own life experiences, I discovered that it had an impact on many of the kids. And over the course of a few weeks, they came back and mentioned that to me, which was nice, but I put the speech away and didn't think of it again until the Lord brought it back to my mind about a year and a half later. And I kind of felt compelled to put that on paper. And I did, and that's my current book. So that's really the genesis of my writing career. It wasn't one that I had planned. It was one that God had planned for me. And I just simply followed that plan that he set forth.
So you give the speech. you're very humbled that they came back and said that what they said to you and how it was, you know, relatable and helpful, and they needed help trying to figure out their future as well. And you put it away, and then they brought it back out again. And the name of the book is Congratulations, Graduated, Now What? Helping in figuring out your future. I've interviewed a number of people in the school arena, and I took a gentleman here locally and who is speaking across the country about the takeover of public education in America. There's all types of things that we hear on the news, in the social neighborhood meetings or gatherings, kids, their parents are declaring whatever. And as a teacher, kind of like a doctor, you go in, or a lawyer, with one idea in mind, and the system makes you go a lot of different ways. So do you find that the books that you've written, and this isn't the only one, it's Can I Be in Your Class, and there's another one, The Social Studies Helper. Do you find that you're providing in your books the help the children need that they aren't getting in class?
That was exactly my goal, Tony. When I wrote The Social Studies Helper, it was designed for high school teachers because there was nothing that was there available for high school teachers to provide things that made learning fun, that made learning enjoyable. There are lots of books out there for middle school and elementary school particularly, but nothing for high school. So I put that together in, so that they would have it, but also so that the kids would have something that made learning exciting. You know, most of the time when you ask kids how school, many kids will say it's boring or just fine. And I really want kids to be able to say, I love it. It's wonderful. And to be able to talk about why it is. And not many kids have that feeling about it. That's what I wanted. The second book, Can I Be in Your Class, even the title came from the kids, because I would have kids who would come to the door and say, can I be in your class? And, of course, they can't. I've got all of my students. But I'd often ask, why do you want to be in my class? And their answer was, well, they knew about projects we were doing, they knew about activities we were doing, and they wanted to do them. And I figured if teachers were doing those types of things in their classes, the kids would be content to be where they are. And so that book also is designed to make learning an invigorating experience, to make learning something that kids look forward to. I always loved it when the kids would come to my room and say, what are we going to do today? And they were excited about it. It, as if they came with the expectation that they were going to do something that was intriguing, that was interesting, that was exciting, and they wanted that. That's kind of what these books are for, to help the teachers prepare to make learning fun and exciting and to make it a place where kids want to be. The third book was specifically for the kids, and that's the one that's currently out, Congratulations, Graduate, Now What? Because students so often focus on graduation day. That's the big event. I'm graduating. I'm getting there. They'll come in senior year saying, I'm a senior. I'm out of here. And then they get to May and realize, wow, I really am out of here. And it's the same sentence, but they say it in a very different way in May from the way they say it in the beginning of the school year. And that's when the realization hits them.
It goes from excitement to fear.
Different in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think that it goes from excitement to fear.
Absolutely. And that's what this book is for, to kind of guide them. It's the kind of advice that I gave to my senior classes often on the side, but it's all collated in one place that helps them to sit down and figure out, okay, who am I? What do I want to do with my life? And because I'm no longer in school, I could also infuse it with a little bit of scripture to say to them, you know, there is a plan and a purpose for your life. You have all of these gifts and talents within you that are meant to be used to give you a career that you will really enjoy and a career that really glorifies God as well.
Okay, so you have two great arenas that you're providing stuff for. You have the school teacher and the school student. And so the student, let's take that first. I see that on your website. You're on Twitter, okay, and you're on Facebook. It was very easy to find you on both. The kids, especially seniors, my youngest is going to be 21 this year, but it's Snapchat, Instagram. It's not as much Facebook. They're still traveling around on Facebook. How do you stay connected to them? Maybe it's through a link that you can send out to them to keep them on maybe your newsletter or your blogs or stuff like that, or do you?
Interestingly, I'm still in touch with many of the students that I taught over the years through Facebook. And that kind of is a word-of-mouth thing, and so things get out through word-of-mouth. And as well, many of the teachers that I taught with, neighbors, friends, have children that are that age, and because they're aware of what I'm doing, have purchased the books for them, and that has become a catalyst for other purchases.
Okay, so the teachers, let's take that side. Now, you know, I mentioned, here in Texas, it seems as though they have to teach to the test, and the test is something that gives them exemplary something or other. When it comes down to the end of the day, it's how the school gets funding.
Sure.
So it seems that they're teaching to the test versus teaching from the heart like you're doing, right? So when it comes to allowing a teacher to be a part of this and understand more about it, is there that, my hands are tied, I'm just trying to get to the last years so I can get my retirement and get out of here type thing? Do you find that a situation?
I find that, unfortunately, many people do get focused on the test. It is a much more test-driven educational milieu than it was when I first started teaching. And really that was one of the things that had me to reassess what my own role in teaching. Because I taught AP classes, and by definition, advanced placement classes have an exam at the end. It's an international exam. And what I found was that although I had to prepare my students for that exam, and I don't know what's going to be on it precisely, so I have to prepare them for everything that that subject covers, I could still find ways to make it fun and interesting so that we weren't doing worksheets and we weren't just bubbling in grids and we could not spend a year on that. That is mind-numbing. And that's not what education should be. That's not what education really is. Education should be something that makes students come in and desire to know more about it, that will have them seeking more information, that will have them interested in creating new things from it, that becomes a catalyst for their own innovation. And so in order to do that, I had to come up with ways to convey the same content knowledge that they wanted to, that they needed to have, in ways that would make it engaging and interesting for them. And so I did that through projects, through classroom activities, through group work, through different things like that. And I think that that's what teachers sometimes forget, is that although, yes, testing has become far too important, it's not something that we as individuals should allow to rule our classrooms. Unfortunately, because the tests are the be-all and end-all for the students in terms of, for some, it determines whether they move to the next grade, it determines whether they graduate, and increasingly, it determines the rating for teachers. It causes people to get very focused on the exams. It's only natural. Mm-hmm. And they begin to think that if they're not preparing for the test all the time, that they're not teaching. I think that you can combine the two, that you can effectively teach your content and make it interesting and fun at the same time. It just requires a little bit more thought and creativity, but you can do that.
Right, right. You have to just get out of the box a little bit. And when I speak in front of a group of people, I'm prepared to speak about the topic, but I have no idea what it is about that topic they want to learn. So you have to include the audience or the class into what it is they want to learn or how they want to go about it. So if they're empowered to be a part of it, they're going to be empowered to want to learn it. So
absolutely.
But sometimes, I think the teachers are, overworked and underpaid. A lot of people land in the teaching position because their corporate job didn't work out and they have a degree and that was the only thing left. So I just think that it's a shame that we're leaving that's what we're leaving up to our children coming forward. Okay, I don't know. My question now to you, Denise, is moving forward, knowing what you know, you're going to stay in touch with those students, and they're going to graduate high school, and they're going to go into college, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to say that their teacher, you know, Miss Facey was awesome, you know, but how are you going to continue to grow outside the box? So, for instance, I'm looking at what you're doing, and I'm thinking, okay, so first year of college, you know, opening day or, you know, their orientation, there should be a little bit of Denise in the room.
What I have found is that, you know, because I left teaching a few years ago, many of my students have now graduated from college. And then, of course, those that I taught a number of years ago are the ones that you just mentioned, are adults who are married and have children and all of that now. And it's wonderful to keep in touch and see where they are from then to now. What I have found is I'm blessed because many of them do remember our time together, and they do reflect on maybe advice that they were given or ways that things were done in class. I have a few students who are currently teachers and have said that they've patterned some of the things they do after things that we did in class. And I don't take that as necessarily being all about me, but rather about what they enjoyed learning and what they wanted to bring to their own students. So it continues. The legacy continues of what they had. It goes on.
But, and I respect your humbleness, but it has to be a little bit about you because it was about you that made them become who they are. So if I could just take you down the selfish road for a second, okay, and look at the people that are going into college that never had the experience of even knowing your name, a book, or anything like that. There's got to be some type of program, workshop, something that you can do that allows these students, because, look, there's a lot of students that don't want to go to college for all the reasons that they have. There's a lot of students who want to go to college, but they're not prepared from what they were taught. And then there's the ones that are going to fight through anything and looking and searching for help to get there. I think, and this is just an uneducated opinion, but I think that your work has just started.
Well, you know what? One of the things that I mentioned in my book is that college is not for everyone. And I think that that's one of the things that we've gotten away from in education that we need to get back to, is that schools once prepared all of the students. So those who were not going to college were prepared with a vocation. At least that's what it was once called, a vocation, where they had training, specialized training, so that when they left high school, they were prepared for a particular field of study, a particular field that they could go out and work in that field and be gainfully employed when they left high school. Too many of the high schools have gotten away from that, and I think that it's important to do that because not everyone is going to be a college scholar, but everyone has talents and gifts that can be channeled into something that is productive and that will earn them a good living. Everyone has that ability, and I think that for the students who are not going to go to college or any of those who are, there are so many opportunities available to them that they're not aware of. I have, if they wanted to contact me, that's easy. My website is up, and anybody can contact me through my website. And you can reach my email through the same thing. It's my name, DeniseFawcettFacey.com. And so I'm always a resource. I'm always available. But what I often recommend for students who don't know me and may not be aware of how to reach me is that there's usually at least one person in that school building who is willing to be that mentor, one person who cares, and that's what every student needs, at least one person who cares enough about them, not just academically, but personally cares about them, so that they can be a person you can go to, someone that you can confide in, someone who will lead you in the right direction. If they have that one person, it can make all the difference in the student's life.
Denise, unfortunately, we run out of time quickly here, but I have interviewed lawyers that stopped teaching law and started teaching lawyers on what to expect when they become a lawyer or what it was that they were going to do before they decided to become a lawyer. I don't know, for some reason, it's just coming through me that your work has just begun and you're going to be helping so many other people. Do you do workshops? Do you
do
anything
with people? I do. In the summertime, I work along with workshops that are offered for teachers. They're not for students this time. These are for teachers. And I do that in the summertime, and I enjoy that because it does give me an opportunity to share my own experiences and techniques and practices with other educators. And I find that just as invigorating as they might find it. And so that does give me that opportunity to do that. And I hope that possibly I'll have a chance to do that with students as well.
Well, I know. I just, for some reason, I just feel as though God's not done with you yet. He's